The Laws of Peripheral Vision. Abdou Malik Simon, urbanist and professor of urban sociology at the University of Sheffield, reflects on workarounds and the right of way on the street.
I want to say some things about peripheral vision and the loss of peripheral vision on the street. Our capacity to think of ourselves in terms of being on streets that are constant peripheries, that our presence is peripheral on them, and that the streets themselves are the periphery of what it is that we assume that we know. In cities across the world, it's impossible to sort out, to separate one life from another. What is important are not the accounts of individual projects or the trajectory of careers or the moral economies of social interchange, but all of the workarounds, the going around that take place every day as inhabitants move and talk and retrieve, extend, withdraw, and circle. For individuals live amongst many different kinds of activities: eating, sleeping, fucking, working, traveling, exchanging, and making. And all of this leads a multitude of traces and implications that have to be worked around, whether it entails their use, avoidance, deflection, acceleration, or integration. And through these workarounds, spaces of operation come and go. Things are opened up and closed down, with or without anticipation. And now, on the street, we're asked to work around each other, to work around what it is that we think our usual trajectories, our familiar paths, our assumptions about ourselves are. And it seems from London, where I speak, that these kinds of workarounds are increasingly difficult, where the right to the city becomes the right of way, to insist upon one's right of way. That instead of the outside being a kind of occasion to work around things, rather it's an attempt to insist upon a kind of straightforwardness of approach, a sense that it's my street, it's my right of way, it's my right. And in this way, in some ways, that white privilege becomes something that's increasingly spatialized, or it's manifested through space, rather than seeing the outside, the streets, as something in which one is embedded, and seeing oneself as part of a kind of ongoing choreography of workarounds, a kind of part of the sensuousness of the street, a way in which things danced and through and around each other, that in some ways the outside world simply becomes a platform to perform oneself, to perform the integrity of oneself. And particularly in this time, this becomes increasingly a kind of difficult matter. I contrast this with what I see as the kind of sensuousness of the street, an ability of people on the street to come and go with each other. Several days before the intensity of lockdowns, I spent some time in Marseille, and on Rue des Longs Capucins, Marseille, there's an elderly man in a wheelchair who appears sometimes between the hours of 2 and 3 daily. And within 30 minutes, the entire area is crowded with men selling found or stolen goods, both useful and useless. Each assumes his spot, but the order of appearance is never the same, nor is the price or the stories told about where the goods come from, or even who these traders are. It is a machine involving hundreds that have both everything and nothing to do with each other, in that each works around the other for their limited space and opportunities, while each knows that they are easily substitutable and therefore need to perform a singular presence, often marked by having the most useless thing to offer. But in making the offer, in announcing their presence and their own style of speech and dress, they attempt to lure a gaze, a brief conversation, an irreverent remark that is an invitation for them to show something else, to point down the street to a rumored transaction that is set to make a lot of money for those appear at the right time. In one sense, these are the discarded collecting, the detritus of the market, yet they are also flashpoints for rapid and short-lived congregations of those in a hurry to spill the beans, to point to things happening beyond the conventional imagination. Bootleg cigarettes and alcohol, fake identification cards mixed with expired entry tickets and memorabilia. In a vernacular where each seller's particular assemblage of goods constitutes a working map of lifetimes of circulation. It may seem like these traders are selling themselves short, but they are publicizing a series of entries and exits, a world of maneuvers that otherwise remains largely invisible. And it is these workarounds that are the urban equivalent of indigenous walkabouts, ways of designing a multitude of spaces that enfold and gather up congregates of much of all kinds. Much of urban life has now devolved into the repetition of complaint, of the urgency of residents to announce themselves, to display their anxieties and fever dreams, and thus turn themselves into the very substrate of extraction. The compulsion to speak, to impress, combines with a more intricate architecture of monitoring and surveillance that lessens the impact of any speech or performance, and thus in turn powering up the need to speak all the more. The long-honed cultures of mutual witnessing and attunement, the sensuousness of the street, the ability to dance in between and with each other seem to increasingly dissipate into urban worlds of parallel play, as residents parade out the well-worn stories of their relative successes and failures, or amplify that their neediness and vulnerability is more eligible to take up space than that of others. All the props that have been constructed to prop up the well-individuated inhabitant insulated from the secretions of foreign bodies seem only to amplify a sense of insecurity compensated by an exaggerated self-confidence that everything will be all right. Everything is all right. And yes, white privilege was always based on this promise, a promise that entailed ignoring the empirical details in favor of an image of sufficiency, propped up by the enforced precarity and expendability of others. And now, in urban conditions where everyone is potentially expendable, when there's no conceivable way of working around the cost that the abstraction of humanity has wrought, the right to be human is either buttressed at all cost or to be abandoned altogether. So what does it mean to be altogether? What does it mean in some ways to work around each other as a way to be with each other on streets that are always peripheral to what it is we think we are?